Today's shir is Masechta Nazir Daf Nun Zayin. We will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah Amar B'Kiva, Danti Lefnei Rebbe Eliezer. I made the following argument in front of Rebbe Eliezer. Ma'im Etzim Kesoira. We've learned earlier in our parak that the halacha is that a Etzim Kesoira, if a Nazir touches or carries a bone of a corpse the size of a sire of a barley, shedim tamba adam ba oil, there is no tumas oil by etzim kasaira. However, hanoz megaleich amagav amasai, there is tumas magav and tumas masa by an etzim kasaira, a revius dam, which is a more stringent tumma, shumatama adam ba oil, which we learned earlier and we'll discuss more in the Gemara Sunna Mitzvah Shem, that does have the ability to be metam with somebody by oil, ain't no din shei nazir malgaleich amaga masa. Certainly, it should have the ability to give tumah, to transmit tumah by being carried or being touched. Amalei, maza Akiva, and Rebbe Lezer when says to Rebbe Akiva, as Rebbe Akiva makes this logical kavachoymer to him, ain't don kan kavachoymer. This kavachoymer cannot be learned. But Rebbe Eliezer did not explain why. And Rebbe Akiva was puzzled. The Kav HaChomer is a good Kav HaChomer. What's wrong with the Kav HaChomer? Says the Mishnah. Says Rebbe Akiva. Kshibasi v'etzaisi dvorim lefnei Rebbe Yeshua. So I went and I presented this Kav HaChomer to Rebbe Yeshua. Oma liyofa amarta. Your Kav HaChomer, if we were to follow logic, is an excellent Kav HaChomer. Elkein omru halacha. Here, and as the Gemara will analyze this more in a moment, the Mitzvah Hashem, we're dealing with a situation of a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And where halacha l'moshe m'sinai is involved, we don't learn kal v'chaymers. And the Mefarshim give a beautiful explanation why. As we've learned, and we continue learning, halacha l'moshe m'sinai has the same status, is the same seriousness as a deraisa. So the question is, why is this halacha told to us by halacha l'moshe m'sinai? And this halacha the Torah chose to explicitly write. The answer is that the Torah went out of its way to only, Hashem went out of his way not to write this in the Torah and only present it as halacha l'moshe m'sinai, because if it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we can't learn kal v'chomer. That's why it's only halacha l'moshe m'sinai and not a pasuk. And I saw from the B'nai Yisoschar, says a beautiful pshat based on this. Many times in Shas, he says, we find the concept of milsa da asi b'kal v'chaymer, even though something could be learned through a kal v'chaymer, torach v'kosav l'kra. The Torah goes out of the way to write it, and the question is why? Those of us who say the brayso of Rabbi Yishmael every day, shloi says the midrash haTorah in the dreshes behen, kal v'chaymer being one of them, so kal v'chaymer is perfect. Why do I need that it should be written? The answer is we need that it should be written in order, we need that it should be written in order to make this point that if it's written, then we can learn further. If it's not written, we can't learn further. However, I did see Mefarshim that sort of qualify what we've just learned. And they say there are two types of halacha l'moshe m'sinais. Sometimes there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, which there's no basis in the Torah for. But we know there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that teaches us this thing. And sometimes a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, which is not an original halacha. Rather, what it does is it takes a din in the Torah and explains it. Say the Mefarshim, when our Mishnah is teaching us that we can't learn a Kal V'Chomer, when the basis of the Kal V'Chomer is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that's only a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that has no connection to anything that's written in the Torah. Completely original din. But in a situation where it's just explaining what it says in the Torah, that type of halacha l'moshe m'sinai could be used in a Kal V'Chomer. So ask the Gemara, and trying to understand the deficiency of the Kal V'Chomer Rebbe Akiva learnt in our Mishnah. What is the deficiency? Is the deficiency that Etzim Kesoira Halacha, the Halacha, the Din, that Etzim Kesoira is Metamba Memagam Memasa, is a Halacha L'moshe M'sinai, and therefore, by attempting to learn Revius Dam Kal V'Chomer, that we want to learn Revius Dam as a Kal V'Chomer from this Halacha L'moshe M'sinai, ain't done a kal v'chomer mahalacha. We can't learn a kal v'chomer from halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's the deficiency with Rebbe Akiva's logic. Adama reveals Tam Halacha, that's in Kesayra Kalachaymer. The issue here is a different issue. We learned the Gemara earlier in our Perek, Dafnun Aleph. The Pasuk says, Akol Nafshois Meis Loyovai. And as Rabbi Kiva taught us, what does that Pasuk mean? That if we have two revias of dam from two mason, it's metama. So the Torah, when it speaks about tuma, speaks about two revias from two niftarim. How do we know that one revias from one niftar is metama? We know that from Halacha Moshe Sinai. And therefore, what Rabbi Kiva is saying in our mission, what Rabbi Lezer is saying in our mission is, since the very halacha that a revias dam is metame, the oil, we only know from the Halacha Moshe Sinai, because the Torah only speaks about two revias. Therefore, it cannot be part of a Kal V'Chomer. Oy Dilma, revias dam halacha. The halacha, the din, the rule that a revias dam is metame ba oil, is only known from our Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Etzim Kesoyer Kal V'Chomer. Now we want to extrapolate and compare Etzim Kesoyer to that, ain't done a Kal V'Chomer mahalacha. Ask the Mefarshim, Lamai Nafkamina. What's the nafkamina if the etzim kesoyer is the halacha l'moshe m'sinai or the revias dam is the halacha l'moshe m'sinai? No matter how we learn, the kal v'chomer is not a legitimate kal v'chomer. So why is the Gemara so focused on trying to understand which is the halacha l'moshe m'sinai and which is not? So I sort of mefarshim answer that there is a difference between a halacha l'moshe m'sinai and something that's in a deraisa, explicit in deraisa. For transgressing, for violating a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there is no issa malkus. For violating a daraisa, there is an issa malkus. So it's important for us to know which is the halacha l'moshe m'sinai, to know that if one violates that rule, he won't get malkus. Toshma, so the Gemara quotes a braisa that says explicitly, etzim kesoira is a halacha, v'yastam is a kavachomer, we can't learn a kavachaymer from halacha l'moshe m'sinai. This braisa clearly teaches us that the din of etzim kumsoira, that's matamba b'magav masa, that is the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Hanra l'chaim gadol, hanra l'chaim gadol, hanra l'chaim gadol. We begin now the next parak, the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, that really discusses the cases that we discussed in the previous shir, where we can have a number of individuals who are nazirim with all sorts of doubts about their status and how it will affect them halachically. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Nazirim, we have two individuals that are certainly Nazirim. Nazirim for 30 days. Shomlam Echad, one person tells them, Reisi Echemhem Shenitma, I observed one of you becoming Tamei, however, the Eini Yodeya Ezmechem, I just don't know which of the two of you are Tamei. And what do they say? So the Rishonim say the following. If the two people, if I go over to two individuals who are Nazirim and I say, I know one of you is Tamei, and they both deny what I'm saying, then they're not, there's no problem. Because I'm only an Eid Echad, and Eid Echad has no Nemonis. The case here is where they don't argue with me. And here we have Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, as long as they don't deny what I'm saying, the concerns that the Mishnah is going to express come into play. Other Rishonim, however, explain that it's not just enough that they don't deny. They also agree, you know, perhaps with Tamei. But if they say, we don't know what you're talking about, even though they don't have factual denial, it would not be enough. So the halach is, now we have an issue, and let's try to analyze the situation. We have these two individuals, one is another Tamei, one is another Tahar. As we've been learning so many times, Baruch Hashem in our Masechta, another Tamei forfeits the days that he kept, but our Mishnah is referring that this happened on the first day of Naziris, to less complicate the situation. Counts, has to purify himself with the Mechatis, third day, seventh day, then takes a haircut and brings Kabonis and begins his Naziris. A regular Nazir has to finish his term. We have these two individuals. We don't know who's the Nazir Tamei, who's the Nazir Tahar. Since we don't know who is who, what we have to do is, we have to make them both wait 30 days. Because they both meet, we have a question, they both, we don't know who's the Nazir Tahar, and the Nazir Tahar has to finish his term. says the Brisker Rav, that the case of our Mishnah must be referring to a situation where everything happened on the same day. They both accepted upon themselves the Naziris on the same day, and this issue arose on the same day. For, says the Brisker Rav, if they would end before, one ends before the other, the suggestion that the Mishnah gives won't work, because one of them has to bring his kabbonis, and one doesn't have to bring his kabbonis, and there's a din about ta'achar, that once you have to bring your kabbonis, you have to bring him right away. So the only way we could explain our Mishnah, says the Brisker Rav, is if these two people began their term on the same day. But then he quotes a Yerushalmi that says perhaps they don't have to end their Naziris, and of course therefore don't have to begin their Naziris on the same day, because one is not over Baal Ta'achar on three regalim pass, and therefore even if this person finished his Naziris and the other one didn't, he can wait because he has the three regalim. So now we wait these 30 days. And what happened is, Mavian, on the 30th day, they bring two sets of kabbonis. They bring a set of carbon tumah, the kabbonis that the nazir has to bring if he's tameh, and they bring the kabbonis that one has to bring if he's tar. Vaymer, and each one says the following. Im ani hu tameh, if I'm indeed the individual who's the nazir tameh, carbon tumah shali, so I'm presenting my carbon tumah, the carbon tar shalach, and you are the nazir tar, and these kabbonis tahara should be on your behalf. Vim ani hu atar, if on the other hand, I'm the Nazir Tahor, carbon Tahor Shali, the carbon Tahor that's being brought is mine, the carbon Tumah that's being brought is Shalcha. Do Rishonim discuss? Does what the Mishnah say that they have to articulate this Tanai have to actually be spoken out? Some Rishonim suggest it doesn't have to be said, it goes without saying. Some Rishonim say that it's enough that one of the two individuals say it. We don't need both of them to say it. And some Rishonim say it doesn't have to be said when the carbon is actually brought. It has to be said when the carbon is bought, when the animals are designated. So we have these two kabbonis. Now we go from... So now, let's analyze where we're up to. The Nazir Tahor is fine. He kept 30 days, brought the carbon tahara, and everything is fine. The Nazir Tameh, however, the Aloch is, now has to count the real Naziris. Just we don't know who's who. So now says the Mishnah, since we don't know who's who, Soy from Shloshim Yoim, they count the full 30 days, or Mavin Karban Tara, and now they bring a Karban Tara, and they say the following, Im Ani Hu Atameh, they only bring one set of Kabbonis. And if one individual says, if I'm indeed the person who is Tameh, Karban Tumah Shali, the Karban Tumah is mine, the Karban Tara Shalcha. The carbon tahara that we brought 30 days ago was yours. And now, I am offering the zeh carbon tahara. I am offering today my carbon tahara. But if, emani hu atar, I was the one that was the nazir tahar, the carbon tahara shali, the carbon tahara that we brought 30 days ago was mine, the carbon tumah that we brought 30 days ago, shalcha, was yours, and now that we're bringing another carbon tahara is yours. The zeh carbon tahara. Ask the Gemara, Ketani, our Mishnah discussed the situation of Shnei Nazirim, Shamalham, Risi Echemem Shanitma. I saw one of you became Tamei, Ve'eni Yidei Ezemachem. I don't know which one. So before we begin learning the Gemara, we know there's a rule that Safek Tumah, if there's a Safek of Tumah Rishus HaYochid, it's considered Tamei. A Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim is considered Tahar. What is the source for that halacha? The source for that halacha is a soita. That if a husband warns his wife not to seclude herself with a man, and she does, even though we don't know that she did anything adulterous, the halacha is that she's considered a soita, she may no longer live with her husband, and we have to give it a mei soita to verify what is her status. The halacha is, v'mai, the halacha is kol safek tumah, rishus hayochid mehecha yapin ala. What is the source that if we have a Safek Tumah, we have to be concerned that there's really Tumah here? We learn it from Saita. But in Saita, how many individuals are there? Boyle and Novellus. The suspected adulterer and adulteress. Af kol Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid. If in our Mishnah we're going to really be concerned that one of these Nazirim is really Tumah, it must be a Rishus HaYochid. But the case of our Mishnah, there has to be at least three people. There is the person that saw, and the two Nazirim. Af kol Sofak Tum Rosh HaSayochid. What is the definition of a Rosh HaSayochid for Sofak Tumah? Where there's only going to Ikabei Trey, like in the situation of a Soita. Avol Hocha, in this case, Shnei Nazirim. There's the two Nazirim. Vahai, and the person that's observing them, the Koy Gabeim, Hotlosa. So we have a total of three individuals. Havalei Sofak Tum Rosh HaSarabim. So this is already a situation of Sofak Tum Rosh HaSarabim. And the halacha is, as we said a moment ago, the kol sofak tum rosh hasarabim sveika tahor. So why are we being machmer? Why are we concerned that one of them is tameh? It's a rosh hasarabim. And the Paiskim, the Chafetz Chaim says, from this Gemara we see that three individuals are already considered a rosh hasarabim. So he says, where is this relevant? Famous Gemara, Masechta Ksuvos. The Gemara says, Hababun pnei chaver barabim. If somebody offends somebody in public, it's a terrible avera. It's like he killed a person. How many people is considered a rabbim? Three. Because Aaron Gemara just said that three people is considered a rabbim. Moreover, says the Chofetz Chaim, that when we count the three individuals, even the person who was embarrassed is one of the three. That you already have the situation of a malot nechaver b'rabbim. So our Gemara's question comes back. If the case of our Mishnah is referring, by definition, Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, that there are three individuals, so how could it be a Shailah that the Tomei? It's a Sofak Tomei Rosh HaSarabim. Answers Rava, Amar Rava Bar Rafuna, but I'm a Re'isi Tomei Shenizrika B'Nechem. The case of the Mishnah is not that I, who observed these two people, was standing with them. I was standing not with them. And therefore, it's only two people. And there's a machloikis Rambam and Ravid, how to understand our Mishnah. The Rambam says that I was in a different Rishus. I was standing outside of where they were standing, but I observed the Tumah being thrown there or whatever and touching one of them, just I don't know who. The Ravid says it doesn't have to be that so serious that I'm totally in a different Chatzar. If I'm not standing together with them, it's already, they're considered a separate Rishus. Omer of Ashi, says of Ashi, the wording of the Mishnah implies that this is the case of the Mishnah. Beikanami, let's look at the words of the Mishnah. I don't know which one of you. Why does it say any yedei ezimichem? As the Rishonim point out, it could have said shochachti. If it said shochachti, means I knew. Why did I knew? Because I was standing there and I saw. The Mishnah doesn't say I knew. I never knew. You know why I never knew? Because I was never that close. Because they were standing here, and I was standing there. Shema mino, that's why it's Rishus HaYochid. So there's a number of questions and issues that come up as we learn this Gemara. One is a question that the Mechitz Chinuch, the Beis Halevi, the Chassam Sofer all ask. Our Gemara has been very clear in saying that the halacha of Sofak Tumah Rishus HaYochid only is when you have two individuals. More than two, it's no longer Rishus HaYochid. So they ask, if you look in the Rambam says, if a husband warned his wife, don't have relations, he's makana his wife for two men, and then this woman goes and secludes herself with these two men, it's a situation of soita. Why? Our Gemara just said, though, as soon as you have three people, it's a Rishus HaRabim. So the Mechitz Chinuch answers, he says, you may have two men and one woman, but what is the concern by a soita? That each man had relations with each woman. Each act of relations is a separate act. So we don't look at it as a group of three. We look at it one woman with one man, one woman with one man. That's the Mechitz Chinuch teretz. The Beis Halevi, the Chassam Sofer say a different teretz. They explain that we always have to look, the basis for this whole halacha they explain is we follow wife. So if in our Gemara, let's think about it, where I was standing there, not standing far away, but standing together with the two Nazirim, and Tumah touched one of the Nazirim. So if we have three people, I'm certainly not Tamei, I know I'm not Tamei, and one of the Nazirim is not Tamei. Only one of the Nazirim is Tamei. So the majority of individuals here are not Tamei. And therefore, the halacha is that we're going to be Mekel. However, in a case where we have two men and a woman, Even if we'll go so far to say that only one man and woman had relations, not both men with the women, it's still the roif had relations, 12 to 3 individuals there. That's why it's different when you have a case of a soiter with two men versus the case of our Mishnah where we have three individuals and Tumah only touched one. However, as Tosfos, if we're going to compare our Gemara, the case of our Mishnah, to a soiter, then we have to compare it all the way, says Tosfos. And what is the halacha by soiter? We said it earlier, that the halacha by soiter is that the halacha, the Torah, considers her as if she did an act of adultery. Unless the mayim hama'orim prove that she's innocent, she can never live with her husband. So why in our Mishnah is the halacha that they bring a carbon jointly? We don't consider each one of them tamei. If we're comparing that, we're comparing it to soiter, we should compare it all the way. And we should say that each one is certainly tamei. So Tosfos answers, the Parsha of Teretz. You can't change the facts. The facts are only one of them is Tumah. Tumah only touched one of them. And therefore you can't compare the two situations. However, Tosfos says, the Teretz is gevaldik. But the Teretz is so good that now the whole Gemara is difficult to understand. The Gemara is comparing the case of our Mishnah to the case of Soiter, and we just explained how the two cases are so fundamentally different. Therefore, Tosfos says that this rule of Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tar. Safek Tumah Rishus HaYachid is not specifically connected to Soiter. It's a rule irrelevant to Soiter. And that's why it's applicable to our Mishnah. Where did they derive it from? If we can't use Soiter, where do we derive it from? Excellent question, Rabbi Gorelick. The answer is, we have another source in the Torah that differentiates between a rabbim and a yachid. The halacha is that if individuals in Klal Yisrael are tamei as Erev Pesach approaches, the halacha is they bring a carbon on Pesach Sheni, the carbon Pesach. But if most of Klal Yisrael is tamei, then they bring it on regular Pesach. So we see there's a difference between a tzibur and a yachid. So what is the difference? Now that we've explained it, what is the difference? Why are we machmir here and mekel here? Because we're mekel here, if there's a rabbin, because we rely on the Cheskes Tara. We're machmer in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, where we don't rely on the people's Cheskes Tara, which is obviously a very difficult statement to make. If we're relying on a Cheskes Tahara, so what's the difference between Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? A Chazok is a Chazokah. So perhaps the way to answer this question is by quoting a Gra. Which the Gra, very interesting, Gra. He explains why indeed is there a difference between a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yochid. We know so many times we learn Savak Tamim Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Tar, Savak Tamim Rosh Hashanah Yochid is Tameh. He says because the Torah is teaching us a lesson. A Yochid, when we have a small group, you can't just say it's a Safek. He has an obligation to try to figure out really what happened here. A Rabbim is a concept of Tircha de Tzibura. We can't expect the rabbim to come to the bottom of, to reach the bottom of the case. So now we can understand the Gemara very well. En ochanami, halachically perhaps, we should always rely on a Cheskes Tahara, whether it's Rosh Hashanah Yochid, whether it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The halacha, however, tells us that we want to teach a Yochid. Don't just rely on a Chazaka. Try to really understand what happened. And that's why Safek Tamim Rosh Hashanah Yochid is Tamei, Safek Tamim Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Tahar. So we learned in the Mishnah, Megalchim and Mevi'im. The Mishnah said that we have these two individuals. One is a Nazir Tahar, one is a Nazir Tamei, but we don't know who is who. So what the halacha is that they both wait 30 days. They both are Megaleich on day 30. They bring the two sets of kabbonis, one set of tamei, one set of tar, as we learned in the Mishnah, and then they go through another 30 days, and then take haircut again, and then bring one set, as we learned in the Mishnah. Obvious question. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara's question. We know that the haircut another takes is a haircut that we're not allowed to take. There's a pasuk like Sakifa Pas Roshchem. He shaves all his hair. Just as we learned so many times earlier in Amasechta, why may a Nazir take such a haircut? That's the Deicha Leisa say. The essay of him taking a haircut is Deicha de Leisa say of Leisa Kifa Pas Reishchem. Where do we say Essa Deicha Leisa say? Where He has an obligation. He has a mitzvah as a nazir to take the haircut. But here, by the second haircut, that's the way, again, most Rishonim explain, we don't know if he's really a nazir. So how do we let him take that haircut? That's the Gemara's question. Some Rishonim explain that the Gemara's, as I said, most Rishonim say that the Gemara's question that I just quoted, that we'll learn inside in a moment, is going on the second haircut that the Mishnah is referring to. However, there are Rishonim that explain that the Mishnah is even asking on the first haircut. And they explain the first haircut, no matter what, he's obligated to take. Whether he's another Tomei or if he's another Tar, both of them have to take haircuts. So the Rebbeinu Peretz explains the Mishnah may be referring to a case that they may not, neither of them may be Tomei. So if neither of them is Tomei, why is he bringing a carbon? He's taking a haircut without bringing the proper carbon. However, other Mefarshim explain very beautifully. Everybody knows the case of the Mishnah, and everybody knows the rule of the Mishnah. So when these two Nazirim are taking the first haircut, so indeed, as I just explained, in the first haircut, they can't be doing anything wrong. But the second haircut, we just said, there's going to be a problem. When you're not allowed to take the second haircut, you shouldn't be allowed to take the first haircut. Because the first haircut is only a prerequisite for the second haircut. But if you're not going to be allowed to take the second haircut, how can you take the first haircut? And that's the Gemara's question, according to them. But again, we're going to learn the Gemara, as most Rishonim, how could they take the second haircut? One of them is not obligated to take it, and it's being over in Avera. V'mai, Dimalav Tmeinenu. He was never the Nazir Tamei. The first haircut that he took was the proper haircut. He has no right to take a second haircut, the Ka'avad HaKafa. Amishmul, B'ishva Katan. Amishmul is referring that the Nazir is a woman, or a Katan, who doesn't have an Isser to cut his payas. A woman doesn't have an Isser. There are two opinions why a woman doesn't have an Isser. One opinion is, we'll talk about that in a moment, and another is the cotton. Cotton's not mechuyev mitzvahs. So the question is, if it's a cotton, how do you become a nazir? So Rishonim give two examples. One is, we learned earlier in the Masechta, ha'av madir es benoy benazir. A father can impose a nazirus on his son. That's the case of the Mishnah. Or the other example is that we learned also in our Masechta Nais Chazara, that if a child is already the age of a mufla somach l'ish, 12 years old with adequate intelligence, the halach is that he brings, that he is a nazir, but he's still a katan, and the lav of lo sakifa pas roishchem doesn't apply to him. The Brisker Rav discusses what will be the halacha if someone is a katan, and he does something, like the case of our Gemara, that obligates him to bring a carbon. Does he bring the carbon while he's a katan, or does he bring carbon only after he's a gadol? Says the Brisker Rav that even though in normal situations it's a shaila, here, for sure, if the Torah gave him the right to be a nazir, also included in that is that when he completes his naziris, he brings a carbon. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to explain that our Mishnah is referring to Yeshiva Katan for looking the gadol? Why don't we say that our Mishnah is referring to an adult male? The question is, how could he take the second haircut? He's being over the lav of Lo Sakifa Pas Roishchem. HaKofa's Kol Roish, Lo Shma Kofa. Where is there an Isser of Lo Sakifa Pas Roishchem? If somebody's taking a haircut and he's rounding his hair, not leaving any payas, not leaving any sideburns. But if he shaves his whole head, there's no Isser. Says the Gemara, Midlo Mukum Hochi, since Shmuel did not explain our Mishnah in the following manner, Shma Minok, Sova Shma Kofas Kolorosh, Shma Kofa. Somebody who shaves entire his head is over the lav Lo Sakifa Pas Roishchem, and therefore Shmuel can give this answer. The Rishonim discuss, as we've learned already, and we're going to learn in a moment, that according to Tosfos, there are Man D'Omrim, that the next Man D'Omrim of the Gemara actually holds that a Kofas Kolorosh, Lo Shma Kofa, that if you shave your entire head, you're not over the lav Lo Sakifa Pas Roishchem, and the question is why. So one pshat is that the Torah says, pass, that you have to leave sideburns. Sideburns mean that you have hair and sideburns. If you have no hair, there's no sideburns. Another pshat is a very interesting Rambam, that the Rambam says, the why does the Torah give us the din, the lav, of Lo Sakifa Pas Roishchem? Because that was the style of the Oivdei Avodah Zarah to shave their entire head, and the Torah doesn't want us to look like them. And the Torah, and the Daki Moshe quotes the Torah, is very disturbed with the Rambam, because the Rambam says that you know, they took haircuts where they didn't shave the entire head, they just didn't leave any payas. So they say, how does the Rambam say pshat in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says what it says, and what's going to be, if there's going to be a time where it's not the style of Oivdei Avodah Zarah to cut their sideburns. So will the lav and the Torah go away? And the Daki Moshe attempts to defend the Rambam. He says, don't get so excited, he tells the Torah. The Rambam is chas v'shalom not saying that it depends on the style. He's just trying to help us understand the basis of the Torah's reasoning, not that the reasoning is dependent, that the halach is dependent on the reasoning. Although there is a taz that does want to suggest that according to the Rambam, if the style were to change, the halacha were to change, Michas Chinuch takes great exception with those words of the Taz. The male, we can understand the Gemara. What is the Issa the Rambam says? Well, now I look like the Goyim. What was the style of the Goyim? That they cut their sideburns. But shaving the entire head is not their style. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that HaKofas Kol HaRosh Loishmo HaKofa. Says the Gemara that Shmuel holds HaKofas Kol HaRosh Shmo HaKofa, and that's why the Gemara couldn't give this answer. Mazutra Masin Lahal Shmata the Shmuel. Mazutra learned this Gemara regarding a different Mishnah. Gemara that we learned in the previous year, and we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem later in our parak. A sefer. Nazir. If you have a Nazir, who besides being a Nazir, Shoyer Tamei B'Safik, we learned this case yesterday, he's a Safik Tamei, and he's also Mukhlet B'Safik. And we don't know if he's a Mitzorah. So our halacha is, as we said yesterday, and we'll learn it again in Mitzvah Shem, he has to go through 4 series of hair cutting to resolve all of our doubts. Every 30 days, we're talking about a Nazir who took a term of 30 days, every 30 days, he's going to have to take a haircut till 120 days. And after 60 days, he could eat kachim. He could only begin eating kachim after 60 days. And he takes 4 haircuts. Same question. Now, as Tosfos explains, we have a bigger problem. Because, says Tosfos, our Gemara holds now that a kofa is called a rosh lo shma kofa. Shaving your entire hair is no problem. But besides the lav of loisakifu pas roshchem, which a nazir, according to this opinion, doesn't violate because he cuts all his hair, he shaves all his hair, there's another lav of loisashkis pas zakonecha. We can't apply a razor to our face. A mitzvah has to shave, as we've learned, all of his body hair with a razor. It's not a question, is we have this individual who we don't know, is he or is he not a mitzvah? And what are we telling him? To shave all of his body hair, day 30, day 60, with a razor, how can we allow him? A mitzvah is allowed to use a razor. Esse doicha loisase. Desse mitzvah is doicha the lav of loisashchus pasukonecha. But if you're not a mitzvah or you're a suffocating mitzvah, how could you use a razor on your face? That's the Gemara's question. V'kavet hakofa, or as we're learning, v'kavet haglachas, he's applying the razor without any permission. And that says Shmuel, the Mishnah that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Nun Tes, is referring to Ishva Katan, that the lav of loisashchus pas zikonecha don't apply to children or women, and that's the case that the Mishnah refers to. But indeed, a man in such a circumstance, the Rishonim say, would be stuck because he can't take the haircuts, because we don't know for sure that he's a mitzvah. Now we say that a woman doesn't have the lav of loisashchus pas zikonecha, and the Gemara Masechta Kedushin gives 2 reasons. One reason is that we learn it from a Gzeir Shava, we learn it from a din, that the Pasuk only says the konecha v'loi zakan ishtecha, man, not woman. Another pshat, the Gemara says, is a pretty practical pshat, because women don't have beards. What is the nafkamina between the 2 pshatim? Say to Mepharshim, what will be the din regarding an Eved Kenani? We know that throughout Halacha, an Eved Kenani is considered on the same status as a woman. So if a woman's permissibility to use a razor on her face is because That's the, what the Torah says. So when the Torah says something to a woman, it's also saying it to another Kanani. But if it's not because the Torah is saying it, but rather the reason is because it's a metzias that she doesn't have a beard, so only a woman doesn't have a beard, but an eved would be also to cut his beard with a razor. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Hamakev is a cotton. If an adult goes and cuts the hair of a cotton with a razor, it takes off his payas, Hareu Chayev. Even though the cotton is not Chayev, the cotton didn't do anything wrong, he's a cotton, the barber who cut off his payas is Chayev, or shaved his beard with a razor. Amar Rav Adba Havel Rav Huna, so Rav Adba Rav Huna says to Rav Huna, I don't understand. You're being strict, and you're saying that an adult may not cut the hair of a cotton. I see your children. Who cuts the hair of your children? Amalei chayva. My wife chayva. Says the Gemara, that Rav Ada said to Rav Huna, very strong line, Tigburin chayva lebnei. Chayva should bury her children. And says the Gemara, indeed, Kula Shana de Rav Ada, as long as Rav Ada was alive, Kula Shana de Rav Ada Bahava, Laokam Lezera Le Rav Huna. Rav Huna's children did not survive because of what Rav Ada said. As Taisa says, the Pasuk says, even though Rav Ada certainly did not mean to curse Rav Huna, but the Pasuk says, Kishgoga Hayoitse Mufnei Ashalit. It was something that was, when a Talmud Chacham, when a great person says something, even if he didn't mean it, it has an effect. And therefore, the children didn't survive. So the question is, the Gemara says, only as long as Rav Ada was alive, they didn't survive. If the klala is such a strong klala, why didn't it continue even after he died? So Rafarshim say, Taisus uses the pasuk Kishgaga Yoytzim of Nei Shalit. A Talmud Chacham is considered like a Shalit, like a king, and whatever he says happens. But as, how long are you a king? You're only a king as long as you are alive. Once he died, he is no longer considered a king. The Farshim go on to say, and therefore his klal is no longer effective. Farshim go on to say, the Yaakov says, everything has a remez. Her name was Chayva. Her name was Chayva. And Chayva represents guilt, and that's why Shitaka didn't have her children survive. I also saw from the Trumas Hadashin, the Trumas Hadashin says that why is this indeed what happened? So he says, the obligation of a parent is to mechanach a child. If the parent is not properly being mechanach his children, cutting the hair when she's not supposed to, then she doesn't deserve to have children. That's why tikber and chayv lebnei. Says the Klozim Megareba. Now we understand why in many circles, the day where the minig in many circles is that you don't cut the boy's hair until he's 3 years old, and they make a big party out of it. What's the big party? Because what was the problem here? That Chayva cut off the payas of her children. She shaved their heads. When we cut our children's hair when they're 3 years old, our boy's hair, and we leave them payas, so that's the opposite of what Chayva did. And we bring life to our children. In fact, I saw two interesting, fascinating pshatim. There was a minig, a school in Klal Yisrael, that if one child got sick, they gave him a haircut. Because our Gemara shows that cutting off the payas brings death, so leaving payas brings life. So they used to have a minig that if somebody's child got sick, they left him payas. They cut his hair and show him with the leaving of the payas. What is so important about payas? This may be a little bit derech tzachas. Payas is that there's something to grab onto. It goes back to what we said a moment ago. It's the obligation of a parent to hold on to his children. So he leaves the payas that he could grab onto and he could take hold of his children. So the question is, how did Rav Huna allow his wife to cut the hair of his children? Michti. Tavayas Svir Lahu, both Rav Ad and Rav Huna hold that HaKofas Kol Rosh Shema HaKofa. That shaving the entire hair is HaKofa. Just what? The Maikum Mufki. Rav Huna Sova, the Torah says, Lo Sekifa Pas Roishchem, V'lo Yisashchus Pas Tukanecha. Kol Sheyesh Lo Yashchosa, whoever is in the parasha that has the isser of cutting their beard with a razor, yesh lo hakofa, is in the category of being able to be over the aveira of hakofa. And therefore, hani noshi, as we said a moment ago, there is no isser for a woman to cut a beard with a razor. Therefore, less than down by hakofa. There is no problem for a woman to serve as the barber cutting off the payas of a child. Rav Adi bar Havasava, on the other hand, echad hamakif vekif hanikif v'mashma. The Torah doesn't learn this way. Wherever there's a situation that the person may not get such a haircut, another individual, even if he's not going to be over that aveira, cannot give that haircut. Veskish makif v'nikif. Therefore, ha hecha the nikif mechayif. Wherever, if the person receiving the haircut is over aveira, makif nami mechayif. V'hai cotton, hoil v'hu gufei la bar onchen hu. Since the cotton is a cotton, the mechayif makif neimen lo mechayif. So the difference between Rav Huna and Rav Adi bar Hava, to summarize it in one sentence, is as follows: what will be the halacha if a gadol gives a cotton a haircut? According to Rav Huna, since a gadol is in the parish of Ashkasa, he can't give anyone a haircut, even if the one receiving the haircut is a cotton. According to Rav Adi bar Hava, that's according to Rav Huna. According to Rav Adi bar Hava, we look at the person receiving the haircut. And if the person receiving the haircut is a cotton, it's no problem. On the other hand, what's going to be the din if a woman gives a haircut to a gadol? According to Rav Huna, women giving a haircut, since they're not in the parish of Ashkasa, there is no problem when they cut someone's payas. According to Rav Ada, there is a problem. But now there's an interesting question. We know there's a halacha that also lispus lo b'yadayim. The halacha is that we're not allowed to, even if a cotton is not obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs, we're not allowed to cause directly a child to do an aveira. So the question here is, how could this children's mother cut their hair? It's doing an aveira. They're not supposed to take a haircut with a razor cutting off the payas. So I saw a number of terutzim. The Beis Halevi says that this entire isser of lispus lo b'yadayim, of not allowing a child, not causing directly a child to do an